It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Okay, cool. Welcome back to the podcast. It's your girl, Christina. And today I am with Karen Hobbs. She owns, I just walked in the door actually, and I'm blanking on everything, Dash, the Aerial Studio in downtown Boise.
Yes.
Okay. There is so much to introduce. How about you just introduce yourself to everyone?
All right. My name's Karen Hobbs. I am the owner of Dash Aerial Yoga downtown, 819 West Idaho. I have a degree in health promotion from Boise State University. I personal trained for about 30 years. I also competed as a professional fitness competitor for about 30 years as well. Actually, I didn't get my professional status till 2011.
Okay.
So I spent the first like 20 years preparing, trying to do shows, get my status and do that. After personal training, I just needed something different. So I went and certified in aerial yoga, opened up studio, and here I am.
Okay. So I met you, I don't even know how long ago it was, and you were coming to yoga.
Yes.
And you were training for a fitness competition.
Yeah.
And I just, like, you would come regularly. Would you bring your family? I'm trying to remember.
No.
It's been a minute.
No.
You would just pop in.
Yep.
And you'd, like, pop in your sweats. And as soon as the sweats came off, you have this banging body. You always had spray tans.
Yeah, you got to have that dark skin. Yeah, because I don't like laying in the sun. I love the sun. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's not that good for you in high doses. So, you know, you just put a little spray tan on every once in a while and do a show and then go to hot yoga so it will all come off.
How did you first get into yoga in general? When did you find yoga?
I found yoga early on when I was training. I had done a show, and back in the early 90s, there was only fitness, where you do all the flips and everything, and a division called figure, where you stand and you do quarter turns, and they just assess the symmetry and fitness of your body. And you wore heels. Oh, and there was bodybuilding, too. And I was competing in bodybuilding at the time, but I was a small competitor compared to a lot of the other gals. And being a smaller person who didn't want to be bigger, I had to transition to figure, where you wear heels and do the quarter turns. But I wasn't really good in heels to begin with, and I needed to kind of change the structure of my body. So I decided to, for 1 month, just not do any weights and do yoga. And it just changed my whole body. And through that process, I found that it changed my mind too. And how I looked at how I did things in the gym and kind of how that paralleled with the things I was doing in my life. I don't know if that comes true for everyone that does that. But yeah, I saw that big transformation. I thought, wow, there is something to this. And I feel things differently and think about things differently. And when I went on stage that next show, I just got so much feedback on, how did you change your body so much?
Really?
And I was like, it was yoga. I quit lifting for a month and just did yoga. And then I kind of intertwined the two of them and found this nice mixture of the two that helped complement me and move me forward.
What style of yoga did you do for that month?
I did Bikram.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, very militant and, you know,
90-minute hot classes.
Fuck, dude. it was like nothing I had ever done. It just wiped me out for the first 2 weeks.
Yes.
It just, like, I'd go home and be physically and mentally done.
I didn't know how people did it and went to work when I first started doing it, because I was done.
I know. And I would go and think, oh my gosh, this is 3 hours out of my day. You know, mm-hmm. It was probably 20 minutes to get there, get there early, set up, do 90 minutes, go out of class, shower, go home or go to work. And yep. you're like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. this is a big part of my day. But, you know, at the same time, I think, you know, if you want a change in your life, you have to do something different and see what that does so that you can make a choice like, oh, hey, this was good or parts of it were good. And I'm going to use this to go do this.
Can you give me specifics on how the yoga, like what specific compliments were you getting on changes in your body from taking that month off of lifting and doing hot yoga?
So when you're bodybuilding, you have really round, full muscles and you tend to look a little more stocky. And my body just elongated. The muscles kind of lengthened out and waistline came in. Posture, I felt, was better. And so those were the types of things like, wow, you're longer, leaner, your posture's great, your stage presence is great. What I physically noticed was my ability to stand and hold a posture and breathe and smile and be comfortable in it, because most people who are new to the sport don't recognize how much twisting is involved. And you see it in yoga practice all the time. Once people twist, they get short. And you're mm-hmm. like, no, man, you got to get taller.
Hold their breath.
Yeah, and you got to breathe. Well, do you want me to twist or do you want me to breathe? You know, those are the questions. And I'm like, I want you to do both. So if you have to back off to breathe, back off. It's okay. You'll get there. You know, you just have to connect with those parts of your body. But that was so important for me and my stage presence to be up there and my endurance. Those are the things I noticed. But like I said, posture, longer, leaner muscles.
Do you remember anything specific when your mentality shifted with yoga?
Yes, to sit with discomfort.
Ooh, yep.
You know, sitting with discomfort and owning that space.
How's that different than body training, weightlifting?
Sometimes in lifting weights, it's all about the mindset is typical of no pain, no gain. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the yoga helped me realize that there's good pain and there's bad pain. Good pain will stop when you're done. It's like holding a posture, you know, when you're in it and you're like, ooh, my knee, instead of going, oh, I'm just going to keep going. And then getting hurt or injuring something. It isn't that failure is a bad thing. Sometimes when you're lifting, you want to go to failure. But again, you know, how's your form when you're pushing through the weight versus when you're in a yoga posture, you really want to try and be in your shape, your form, your structure, what not try and make your body do what the person to the right or to the person to the left is doing, mm-hmm. but like understand, oh, I have replaced knees. My knees won't bend like that. And I should be okay with that.
I think so many people struggle with that idea of not trying to replicate what someone else is creating with their body and understanding that where their body is perfect. And that's where you need to be.
Mm-hmm. And I think the parallel too is I used to work at a local business called Gym Outfitters and they sell fitness equipment. He's had that business for, oh my gosh, probably almost 40 years, I'm sure. And when I was first working there, I'd get people coming in saying, what machine will burn the most calories? And I'm like, the one that you'll do.
It's all about you.
It's all about you. And, you know, don't buy a piece of equipment that you think burns more calories than another if you're not going to do it and you don't like it. If you like walking, get a treadmill or even cheaper, buy a pair of tennis shoes and go outside, you know. Mm-hmm. So don't try and mimic what someone else is doing. Do what's best for you in the stage that you're in.
I think that's really hard because some places I notice someone's like, I've got an event coming up. I want to look good for this event. Summer's coming. I want to get bikini ready. And so then they'll do exercises they don't enjoy. They'll change their diet to something they don't enjoy. So then it's not like a healthy lifestyle, long lasting. It's just like, we're just doing this real quick. But then I'm going to get upset with myself when I revert back to habits that don't support
me looking physically how I want to look.
Right. And that's a pattern, right? Mm-hmm. It's like people want something, but they want it quick. So they do a quick fix, have some discomfort, but then go right back knowing that they're going to have that mental discomfort, that challenge of, what the hell did I just do? I did all that work and went through all of this, and now I'm right back or worse than when I started. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at your life in a trajectory, you know,
okay.
It's like telling people, just make a 1% change every month, every year, and keep that trajectory going, because, you know, over time, you're going to see this huge increase and you'll reap the benefits of what you've built on, rather than doing this big steep incline and then a deep dive and then a steep incline. I mean, that is so exhausting. I mean, we've all done it, right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's like, when are you going to learn? When are you going to say, okay, that really isn't working? I am so unhappy half the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay, just make a little change. Go to yoga.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go every day. Go once a week for a little bit. See how you like it. See your changes. And then maybe the next month you go twice a week. It isn't, you know, I'm going to go every day, every week, and then stop.
For me, I was never really into like sports or fitness. Exercise was not fun. It wasn't comfortable. And I grew up in a more academic focused household. So like my parents didn't really understand sports.
Right.
And so when I started to think about like, how can I have a healthier lifestyle? What can I do? I'm trying all sorts of different things. And yoga was the first thing that I enjoyed. And I didn't even think of it as a physically healthy thing. My friend's like, you should try this thing called yoga. And I just mentally enjoyed it. So I kept going. And then I started to notice that I didn't feel as good at yoga if I ate certain food, like mm-hmm. junk food right before I'd go. And that I didn't feel as good at yoga if I was hungover. And then I didn't feel as good at yoga if I didn't get sleep. And so then I started changing these parts of my lifestyle. And then yoga became a gateway to other things. I noticed that if I would go lift weights and do a sculpt class, which I fucking hate.
I know, right?
but then I would see like an amazing improvement in my actual yoga practice. And so then like I started using other forms of fitness as a way to fuel my enjoyment of yoga, which now I'm suddenly like, now I actually like working out in different forms.
Right. Because you see that connection, mm-hmm. that threading of your mind, your body, and your breath.
Yes.
And I think most people come into yoga for a workout, not a work in, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the longer that you do it, your workout becomes your work in. And then you start like branching out and seeing how other things affect it and how it affects your yoga. And you find the things that really resonate with you. That's like, oh, wow, I feel so happy. Or I met the coolest person and they think like this, and, you know, like attracts like. So, you know, your circle starts to get strong rather than big and weak. It becomes really strong. And, you know, I think those are some of the greatest things that come out of yoga are your connections. I mean, like we haven't seen each other in years.
Yeah.
We see each other on Instagram or socials.
I'm obsessed
or whatever.
With your social media. I know. You're hysterical. All the memes you repost.
I know. I freaking love memes because they're so, it's like sometimes you think it, but you don't say it.
Yes.
And so, you know, it's like, just put it out there and people are like, yes,
uh-huh.
that right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the caricature of the gal and down dog, and she's got all these little like clouds of thought, like am I doing it right? My arms hurt, my legs hurt, can I pull my tummy? You know, she's thinking about grocery store.
Yep.
All these things are going through her head, and everybody's like, that's me.
Yep.
That's me in yoga. And it is so hard to drop a thought when it comes through your brain. And it's, you know, I try and tell people, don't attach to the source, let it come. And then let it go. Maybe think about your breath or my voice again.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that all the time, even in my own practice, you know.
Yes.
I'll be on the mat and I'll be like, oh my gosh, I have to cut my Savasana short because I have to go to a podcast. So I have to take a shower so that, you know, I'm not coming in all gross.
You smell great.
I'm like, it's okay. Just breathe right now. You'll get there. That time's not here yet, you know. And, you know, just go back to the instructor's voice. And
still a practice.
Right. Still a practice. And I, you know, it's, I'm sure you've said it, it's not yoga perfect. It's yoga practice. And yes, it is a constant practice. Every day is different. Your body is different every day. Who you are next to is different every day. The instructor may be different. How they come into the class, everything's different. So you can't expect what happened last time or last year to be exactly the same. Like, you could crush a posture one day, and then the next day you're like, wow, I can't even grab my foot today.
Not even. Yes.
Right? You know, and it's like, oh, or I'll be teaching, I'll be going through the right side, and then we get to the left side, and I'm like so into something that I'm like, I don't know where I am right now. I literally don't know where I'm at right now. I don't know what happened, but I'll just have this mind blank, and then I can get right back to it. But it's like my class just laughs at me like, oh my gosh, she's not perfect. And I'm like, I am so far from it. And it's okay if it's okay for me to not be perfect, it's okay for them to not be perfect. Like, let it go.
Right. It's so personal too. Once you start giving yourself some slack, you can give other people some slack.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's like, I think you've had a podcast with Jason.
Yes.
And I love him too. Like, he makes me laugh so much.
So much.
Some of the things he posts, I'm like, I'm going to steal this, okay?
He posts the weirdest stuff, but I love it.
I know, but, you know, it's like, that's him, mm-hmm. right? And if you can't be you, who can you be?
Yes.
You know? And it's really just letting yourself be authentic and real and allow yourself to make mistakes, but also allow yourself to be really good at something. You know, I think sometimes as instructors, we're always expected to be like on it, good,
yep.
you know, give and all of that. And I think a lot of people don't see, you know, the after class where you're like, oh my God, I just want to go home right now. I don't want to clean anything. I just want to go home.
No one talk to me. I'm going to take a 2-hour bath.
Yep. You just, you know, sometimes my husband will even say, oh my gosh, you're so quiet right now. I'm like, I have to shake all this off.
Mm.
And it isn't anything maybe in particular. It's just, you're just so drained.
Your energy output is, and then the holding space for other people.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. And trying to hold space and balance it out for new people to be comfortable in the space and yet have the energy to build people who've been coming and, you know, try and balance all of those things, what people are bringing into the door, what they say to you when they come in the door,
yeah.
or even what they say to you when they leave. And it's like, well, I was kind of having a bad day too, but my day's not as bad as that day. And, you know, you just start your so much in your brain and you want to dump it off and because you got to go again tomorrow.
Someone will come in and they're having the best day ever, and someone else will come in and they're having the worst day ever. And then as soon as like you shut the door and it's time to start and set the intention, it's like, where do we begin?
Yeah.
Everyone here is in a total different mindset, and how can we cohesively bring everyone together to have this shared experience
right.
positively.
Right. And, you know, there's a saying in Japanese, it's called Ichigo Ichie, and it is one chance, one meeting that will never happen again. And I always try and remember that, like, this shared experience will never happen again. So how can I, you know, speak to everyone, but have it might mean something different to everyone, but
yes.
I really want everybody to kind of collectively come together and share your experience rather than I'm going to just crush this girl over here because she can kick her foot over her head, but I think I can kick my foot higher. It's like, no. Can we move together? Can we breathe together? Can we join that energy and become really strong as a unit, regardless of where you're at? You know, so
How did you shift gears? Do you still do personal training or did you just shift into aerial yoga?
I just shifted into aerial yoga, man. I just had to dump it. It became a job, not something that I was loving anymore. Because people were finding, they have this different idea of health and wellness or fitness than I did. Like, I was evolving into this slow down, take your time, make lifestyle changes, not let's change this, lose this, and then you're happy, and then you do these things that aren't healthy, and now you're sad, and that's, you're putting it on me. You're not taking the responsibility for
it. Can you give me an example?
I want a six pack.
Yep.
Okay. But I don't want to quit drinking, and I want to have my pizza, and I don't want to do cardio. Let's just use that as an example.
And then you have to
And then I have to say, well, if you don't want to give up any of those things and you want a six pack, then you should enjoy the two pack that you have right now. Because, you know, to get something that you don't have, you have to give up something you already are doing in order to get that, or you have to change something, and change is difficult. And people didn't want to change. They wanted to be able to kind of do the change and then maybe send me a message and say, oh, I told my friend that we could go have lunch and I couldn't have a martini because my trainer would be so upset with me. And I would have to send back a text. No, I'm not upset with you. You should be upset with yourself. Don't put that on me. I am not your mom.
Okay.
You have your own mom. You have your own conscience. If you want to change, I've given you the knowledge. It's up to you to impart that knowledge, right? So I just got really tired of being held
the scapegoat
responsible. Yeah. It's like I have my own responsibilities and my own children. So, you know, I always feel like you should be imparting knowledge on some level, right? Like me going to Hollywood Market and taking your class. It's like, what am I learning? What am I getting? What is she imparting to me? It doesn't have to be something like completely profound, but that I feel like my tank is getting filled, like my mind is being stretched, rather than just going out for a workout. I go in and I leave.
Right.
You know, how many calories did I burn? Mm. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, oh, wow, you know, she said something today about one chance, one moment. And then you're standing on your mat and you're going, oh, I have this one opportunity today. It will never happen again. How can I connect with just myself?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And maybe I just don't worry about the shape and I worry about my breath. Where am I sending it? Can I hear it? Am I going, or am I like, you know, it's just that. And so those were the type of experiences that people would, you know, try and put on me. And it exhausted me and I could never fill my tank, which is when I started doing more and more yoga. And I'm like, you know, this is the thing. This yoga has it has its purpose in my life. And I want to share that with other people. You know, I want them to have that same experience rather than it's a workout and I'm going to burn calories and then I'm going to go the next thing and I'm going to burn calories. It's like, okay, if that's where you're at, that's where you're at. And hopefully by you coming, you'll see and feel the change. And that's the coolest thing to see in people. It isn't, oh, look, I can kick my foot above my head now. It's like, great. But I love when somebody comes in and they say, you know, I was on my mat and I've been here a while and now I really hear what you're saying, you know, like let the stuff go. It will still be there. in, you know, 60 minutes. But this is my time to really breathe. I don't think people really know how little they breathe.
Oh, true. And the impact is more than one dimension. It's a multiple dimension impact that's so meaningful. Taking an hour to be intentional, connect with breath.
Yeah.
And the differences you see in your students is just it's like such a beautiful thing to witness. It definitely fills my cup too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's to have somebody say how it has impacted their life, how they slow down to make a thoughtful choice. You know, like I just sat back and I closed my eyes and I breathed and I like thought how if I do this, it impacts me and others this way. And if I do this, it impacts me and others this way. And what's the best path for me to help impact others more positively? You know, it's like dropping a pebble in a pond. You know, there's such a ripple effect from every choice that you make that I think when you're young, you just make choices.
Yes.
For me.
Well, your frontal lobe hasn't
right.
also developed.
I mean, it's just like I am doing this because it feels good and screw everybody else. But as you get older, you know, you see how your choices impact others. And you learn from that, hopefully, and then you make a different choice or a better choice. And everything is about choices. And, you know, I love when people come into class and they're like, man, I never used to think about my choices and how they impacted not just me, but the people around me. And then now they notice the change and shift in me, which allows them to say, wow, there must be something to that yoga because all this started happening when you went to yoga.
I love what you said about how you love the connections you make, the people that you start to interact with. And all my friends know me as the yoga girl. And so even friends that maybe I haven't seen in years or, yeah. or we'll see each other eventually, the people who kind of come out of the woodwork and hit me up and they're like, Christina, I'm ready to try yoga. You're my friend. Help me. I'm like, oh, okay. Or Christina, I knew I could count on you. Like I've decided to make healthier habits in my life. And because like if my friends hit me up to go drinking on a weeknight or something, no.
Right.
They don't hit me up for that, but they'll hit me up to go on a day hike. They'll
right.
hit me up to go for a dog walk. They'll hit me up to go to yoga or go to the gym or something like that. And so it's interesting to see like when friends hit me up and what they want to do.
Right.
It's always like a healthier activity because they know that's Christina. She'll go dancing and have some drinks. Sure. But generally speaking.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They know that about you and they respect that space
yes.
for you.
If I go home early, they're like, oh, she's got yoga in the morning.
Right.
Whether I do or not, I'm still going to go home.
Right.
Early.
They understand. They like really appreciate that space that you hold for yourself and they have that respect for that rather than, oh, well, she's too healthy for us. She's not our friend anymore.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, oh, we love her. And this is where she's at in her life. Here's where we're at, but here's where we connect. You know, mm-hmm. you have these two circles and they kind of combine and they have this space where they are together and this space where they're apart. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't have expectations of my friends. Well, if you don't go to yoga, you can't be my friend.
Oh my gosh. Not
I'd
at all.
Actually prefer, you know, people that I don't do yoga with sometimes. You know, it's like, you know, let's talk about life. I think when you've been a trainer or a fitness competitor or, you know, you're held on this one level, right? People might say to you, oh, I've been meaning to come to yoga. And I'm like, no. I really don't expect you to come. I would want you to choose to come if it's something that you want. But that's not how I'm connected to you. Is through yoga. Yoga has allowed us to have this space, you know, where you you like what I say or you like, you've seen me from when I was in my 20s now into my 50s. Like, you see how my life has gone and you appreciate that. And there's parts of it that you're like, wow, there's something to that. And I hear what she's saying. I'm not ready for yoga, but I like this other space that we have together.
I think some of it is also just like social conversation expectations.
Yeah.
So, and before I got deeper into my field, I would see other fitness instructors, specifically Celeste Bolin, the dance commander. Uh-huh. I'd run into her at concerts and shows, and you know, I always knew she was the dance commander.
Right.
And so just not even thinking, I'd be like, oh, I want to take your class, but I've never gone to your class and I've known you for a couple years. But why would I bring that up every single time I see you? Like, oh, I should have gone to your class and I said I would and then I didn't. And she just looked at me and she's like, you don't have to come.
Right.
Come if you want to come. Right. But no pressure.
I know.
And I realized I was doing that. And then as I became Christina Braun, yoga teacher, people would do it to me. And I was like, oh shit, that's what I was doing to Celeste all the time.
Yeah. And speaking of her, oh my gosh, when MOVE was open, Michaela Latta, she says, Karen, you should come take Celeste's class. And I'm like, she's the fucking dance commander and I am not a dancer. Why the hell would I come take that class? She goes, oh, it's so fun. And so one day I was like, I'm going to fucking go take that class.
Yes.
I am so terrible at dance, but who cares? She goes, there are so many people here who can't dance, but they just have fun. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go. It was so fun. But I did find myself going, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I did not mean to step over here 3 times instead of 2 times or whatever it was. But it was so fun. And it was such a great space. And she's such a great instructor. So, yeah.
Yeah. Years later, I finally popped into one of her classes. And like, I forgot my shoes and I'm barefoot and I'm running into people.
Right.
But I was like, it's not about that.
It isn't. It isn't.
And yoga was the little gateway that helped me get there.
Yeah. I think, too, as an instructor, you should always be putting yourself in a position of being a student in something that you're not comfortable with or familiar with, because that gives you empathy for somebody who's new or has questions, you know, and to help them feel comfortable. You know, I remember taking golf. Ugh. I took some golf lessons and I was so bad. My dad wanted me to golf so much. And it's not that I was terrible. It just, I'm like, this is 3 hours. And that's just for maybe 9 holes.
Yeah.
And I got to stay focused on this little tiny ball. I'd rather sit and meditate for 90 minutes because it's not going to challenge my anger because I'm, you know, dug a divot in the grass, this pretty grass, and destroyed it, or I shot my ball somewhere and I had to say, oh, sorry, you know. But it's, you know, when somebody's saying, oh, flip your grip or put your thumb here, bend your knees more. It's like, oh my gosh, this is how you don't want to teach somebody, you know, who's doing standing bow pose. It's just like, reach down, grab your foot.
There it is.
Just, yep. And you can stay right there. I remember hurting my back really bad, and I was actually going to Hollywood Market when at the time I'd been on a plane, and I sat there and I got up and I was like, oh, my back. Anyway, it just continued to get worse. So I had to take some time off, and I remember going back into the studio and thinking, I can't grab my foot. So I'm just going to stand on my one leg and just lift my knee and hold it here. And one day, hopefully, I'll grab my foot. And I think it happened like maybe a month later. But, you know, I kept telling myself, this is a really good space for you to be in. It's challenging you on another level.
Oh,
instead of, you know, no pain, no gain, you have to sit with your discomfort.
The thoughts that come up.
It's like, oh, I really want to be able to do that. And then listening to, you're not ready to do that. Physically, you're not ready to do that. Your mind is telling you do it, but your body is telling you not yet, wait. And I think the hardest thing to do as a human being is to sit and wait. Wait for your time.
Yes. So time's running out.
Okay.
And I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
Oh, the one thing I've overheard at yoga, and I hear it, and you hear it all the time. I'm not flexible enough. I can't do yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I try and impart to them, what you just said is your life. If you can't be flexible in your mindset to challenge yourself to try something new, that's how you do everything. You can see it on the mat. I'm not going to do this. Or if you want people to sit still, they can't sit still, and that's their life. And so, you know, I'll tell people, if you can help just think about allowing your mind to be flexible, to just change a little bit, your body will start to become flexible. You know, just making that assimilation, mm-hmm. that comparison. You know, yoga is life, life is yoga. And they will slowly come together.
Do you say that to people who yes. tell you they're not flexible?
Yes. I'm like, you know, I didn't think I was flexible either. But then I thought, well, that's just like saying I don't like that person because they have black pants on. I don't like people who wear black pants. Okay, weird. But okay, how can you change that? You know, maybe you see them, is it all black pants or is it black pants and black shorts? Or black leggings, you know, think of it a little different. Try and be a little more flexible in your mind and you might find that, oh, I wear black leggings all the time. Those are black pants and maybe we have something in common. You know,
that comparison.
It's just
change it to be flexible in the mind.
Yeah. Allow your mind to be flexible and your body will follow.
All right, Carrie, tell us again where we can find you and connect with you.
You can find us Dash Aerial Yoga at 819 West Idaho in downtown Boise. Our Instagram page is at Dash Aerial Yoga. And I think we're on Facebook too, but Facebook is one of those things that, you know, I'm not really on it that much. Mm-hmm. But it is Dash Aerial Yoga on Facebook. And then our website, dashaerialyoga.com. And our phone number is 208-859-5768.
So if someone said, I can't do aerial yoga, what would you say?
Oh my gosh. I couldn't do aerial yoga either. I had a first time too. So
I think my first time was with you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's again, putting yourself in that instance where I'm going to try something new and see how I can connect that with my grounded practice or with my strength training or just holding space and meditating while I'm doing Savasana, floating above the ground.
Karen, thank you so much. Thank you everyone for listening. I'll put all that info in the show notes. Thanks Great. So much for coming
oh,
on.
Thank
I admire you.
You.
I appreciate you. I'm
I love
obsessed
you.
With your social media. Thanks again.
All right. Namaste.
Bye guys. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Please rate and review us. It's a great way to help others find the community. If you found this podcast interesting or valuable, please share it with a friend. Also, if you are interested in sponsoring or showing support, you can contact me via email. It's xtinayoga@gmail.com. Otherwise, please follow on Instagram, overheard@.yoga.